Hey everybody, this is Hal from the Nation of Conversation. If you enjoy our show and you've not yet left us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts, go and do that right now. Not only does it help new people find the show, but also the more reviews we get, the more likely it is we're going to be unlocking that sweet, sweet merch so that you can wear us on your backs, put us on your wall, and have us wherever you go. And you can leave a great review, just like Captain Awesome Plan, who wrote, "Ah, podcast listeners, don't you dare be sour. Clap for your new favorite wrestling podcast and feel the power. It's a good review. Yes, it is." Go leave yours right now.
Boom. Boom, boom.
Tights and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Vibes Podcast. Tights and Vibes.
Wrestling podcast with Mike, Hal, and Danielle. I thought that was going to work out.
And then I immediately was like, I have to punt.
Why am I sad all
right
of a sudden?
Now.
What?
Wait till I do the piano music next week. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Hal Lublin. I did not have mumps. And I want to know, who wants to talk with Elias?
Oh, that's
like
good.
It.
That's good.
Good job. Good job, Julian.
That was great. That was a good one.
By the way, little inside baseball, I've seen Julian work on these, but I've seen him, like, he pours through different lists of names. He's constantly working on this. And he'll sometimes, I know you've crowdsourced too, right?
No, the names are all me.
They're all you.
Never do that. That'd be a lot easier.
Never crowdsource. You know what? Why don't you get involved at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights. You can give us suggestions or at tightsfights, and you can bank them, Julian, if you just need them.
I'm sure he's got some super psychotic long
like a
note in his phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like...
Sometimes they'll just come to me when I'm watching a movie. I'm like, wait, right. Sorry, I got to step out for a minute.
Wake up in a cold sweat, like, who wants to walk without lights? Genius.
His fiance is just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Anyway, this is all to say that I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the franchise pod player, Danielle Radford.
What up?
The franchise.
And Captain OME, Mike Eagle.
I love that.
Ooh,
I love it.
That's good.
I don't get the, what is it?
Captain OME. I'm pretty sure it's Captain EO, right? Is it like Captain?
No, it's from, because Becky's been calling herself Captain B.
Yeah, she's been calling herself Captain B for Captain Blue.
Got it. Sorry, I don't watch enough YouTube. WWE stuff.
That sounds like a... Yeah,
you were on tour. It's fine.
Well, even when I'm home, I don't make it to the YouTube stuff.
I watch everything.
You're the best of us.
You
Everybody
are.
Everybody knows
you
it.
You are. I give it up to you, man. You find shit every week. I am like, how?
Dude, yeah. Half the time I'm watching this shit on my phone as I go from job to job.
Well, we've got tons of things to talk about this week, from WWE's latest talent releases to the ongoing build to Survivor Series and more. But first, Monday Night Raw was an evening full of returns, the first being Stephanie McMahon, who had this to say to Kurt Angle about letting Shane McMahon get the jump on Raw.
Who let that happen? There's only one person, and that is you! You say you built your career on three eyes, intensity, integrity, and intelligence. Well, maybe I should add a fourth, Kurt, incompetence.
Interracial love.
Uh-oh. Hello.
No, remember, Jason Jordan's mom was white. We don't know how that happened.
And this feels like something you can set your watch and your calendar to.
Yeah.
That around this time, Stephanie will come back and or Triple H will come back. But also, as an employer, if you have a series of people who work for you that quit or get fired, at a certain point, you got to look in the mirror for where the real problem lies.
Yeah, high turnover. Man, it's like back when I was working at GameStop.
Do you feel like this is an effective use of Stephanie? Was this the right time to bring her back?
I get it. I liked it better, honestly, when it was just like that Becky explanation, again, on YouTube.
Bexplanation.
Hello. Oh, that's great. That's
Oh, wow. Write that down, Julian. But just, I liked it better when her thing was like, yo, people treat us like the B show. They get one more hour. They get more, you know, They always get to main event our pay-per-views. When we do joint pay-per-views, they always get more. I kind of like that better than just like regular old set your watch to it, McMahon versus McMahon.
And what is it about Stephanie where she just don't want to be cheered ever? Like, she just never wants people to smile at her. She wants to come out. And you have this little second of potential where she might be a nice person. And then she triples down on the meanness every year.
She clearly loves being a heel more than anything else. And also, like, I appreciate the fact that she knows, like, hey, everybody knows I sign everybody's paychecks. It is too much for me to also be the good guy.
Ever since she turned on her dad, she's like the best natural heel.
You know, the thing about wrestling, though, especially when it comes to the McMahons and people we don't see very often, like, we just grow a fondness for them. The easiest thing to do would be for them to just take advantage of that. And I'm here, let me say one nice thing, and then you all can love me and I can go away. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's like the natural thing to do. But like, I feel like she turns it on its ear.
Because Vince, every time he comes back, you don't know which Vince you're going to get.
And we pop. When he comes down, his music hits, we pops until he says the mean thing. And then we're like, he's
you're
mean
old Vince,
Vince
again. Last time you were nice Vince, and it was nice.
They get to pull off a turn every single time
every
they come out.
Every single time they come out. Trips does the same thing, too, where sometimes he comes out and he's, you know, in real life, he's NXT Daddy Trips.
Right.
And then, you know, he just decides it from match to match if he's going to be good guy Trips or bad guy.
He babyfaces so hard in NXT that I feel like his is a little bit more balanced, where like Stephanie is like a heel almost exclusively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Triple H is like Bret Hart in 96-97
right,
when he goes to NXT, he's a face, and then when he's everywhere else, he's a heel. So now Angle is the captain of Team Raw, and Shane McMahon is the captain of Team SmackDown. There are almost no stakes other than he led the attack. Now Daniel Bryan's did a stretcher job. Really smart way, by
that
the way,
to imply
that he took a
fucking
bump.
Fucking incredible.
Hey guys.
Yes.
This is the shit they do on Lucha. That's why I like Lucha. This was the most Lucha segment in the entire world.
Was.
Everything goes dark, a demon comes out and chokes a man with no neck. It's amazing.
Just want to say, I hope that in the promos leading up to Survivor Series, they play more on the history between Angle and McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because remember, when I watched Raw, I was like, hold on. Well, Kurt, when Shane was here last week, you should have dressed him down and then told him, like, last time you and I were face-to-face, I threw you through a window.
Right.
Right.
You sure you want to step in here right now? Because I'll drop you in front of everybody and embarrass you again.
I mean, but Kurt's character, since he's been GM, has been very kind of like... deer in the headlights, let me try to like keep all of these plates spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it kind of makes a little sense. I mean, but also that's what made it awesome when in a TLC match when he came back and just for a second he had that stare, you know, that the Kurt Angle terror stare. So yeah, it will be good. And hopefully maybe in a match, you know, he flips into that a little bit. But yeah, his character has been very like anxious. Yeah.
Oh, that's why he can't say words right. But also...
also because he has a neck on the back of his neck.
Yeah. He had to.
His neck has a battery pack like those iPhones.
You have to reinforce it. When the walls come tumbling down, you got to put some more beams in that wall.
But also, it's something I think about in this match, like... how is Shane going to be an entertaining and competent wrestler in this match without something to fall off of?
He didn't fall off anything in the AJ Styles match. People can carry him, and in a 10-man match, he doesn't have to do as much. I think they can...
He'll give us the coast to Midwest, and then everyone will pop.
I mean, shuffle and jab.
Is it no DQ? Is it? Can he use trash cans and sticks? And
I don't think so. I think
Ron
it's.
Ron got counted out last year. Remember?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They have countouts and DQs and everything.
Well, so I don't know. It might be a stretch for Shane.
Yeah, they're gonna have to make it DQ. So because he ain't hitting anything if he ain't got a trash can.
He's probably just practicing everybody on Raw's finishers right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be his entire offense is Raw finishers.
Just do the thing where they're all stacked up against one another so that he only has to jump to the middle. It'll be dominoes. It's fine. But let's talk about returning stars, including Nia Jax and Samoa Joe. We don't know for sure why Nia was gone.
Right.
A lot of rumor and innuendo about that. And obviously, mostly by people who are not in the business or employed by the business at all. So it's easy for us to go, well, she's very upset because of the storylines I heard. Does that seem plausible? Like, she's real young in the industry to be walking out.
I guess for me, when I hear that she might have been walking out, the first thing I was thinking is how little are they paying Nia Jax? Mm. Because they would have to be paying her very little and also not paying her very much for Toad Steve's for it to be worth it for her to walk out. I mean, I could see people telling her if you're unhappy, leave, but to straight up be like, no, walk out and teach them a lesson. The thing is, Nia is amazing. I love Nia Jax. I love her as a character. I love her as a wrestler, but there were other women who will take that monster role.
Shayna Baszler.
So, like, she's not... It helps that she's got the... You know, because she's also doing Toad Steve's, which comes back tonight. I'm very excited about. So there's that. I don't buy that she's just walking out unless it's something that's, like, egregious.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think?
I really don't know. I do feel like the way that they had Alexa Bliss, and I'm not sure if the company put her up to it, but she had mentioned something in the press about Nia just basically taking a refresher or something like that. And I think just the mention of that makes me feel like it wasn't anything like a real walkout. And I think sometimes when WWE has people out to do things akin to like cosmetic surgeries and little stuff that they don't need, this mm-hmm. medical, oftentimes they don't give you an explanation why right. for why somebody's suddenly
and
gone.
And sometimes even could, if they have them shooting right. a movie, they won't tell
right.
you.
Right, so it could easily be any one of those things. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, she's back and, you know, looked to be in a good position coming
and it,
back. Yep. So.
And if anybody knows, it's, I mean, her and Alexa Bliss are like best friends.
Right.
So if anybody would know, it would be Alexa.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Samoa Joe.
Yay!
Who's back, cut a great promo.
Womp, 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 womp.
Womp, 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 womp. Destroyed Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil. In my mind, there's nowhere you can go with him outside of putting him right back in the main event. That's where he belongs.
Yeah, that's where
he
belongs.
Is there anything you could do with him right now that would be satisfying from an audience perspective other than having him vying for that Universal title? Who is there left for him to feud with right now?
I have no idea, but I also don't know what the main event picture is right now. You got The Shield, which is embroiled in a six-man tag thing with The Miz and whoever he's tagging up with. And Brock is wrestling Jinder at the next pay-per-view. I mean, and I don't see them doing Samoa Joe Brock again instantly.
Mm. This is the problem with a part-time champion. How could we know? The last time we saw the Universal title defended was in August. Mm. That is almost 3 months ago, for those of you counting. By Survivor Series, it will be 3 months. So that'll be 3 months, no title defense. If he defends it again at the Royal Rumble, then we've had to wait 5 months. We did this before.
Mm.
We did this in 2014. It did not work. The idea that, well, now the Intercontinental title gets more heat and that becomes more important, that main events the show, giving it to Miz does that on its own. You could still have a world champion. Now we have no picture there. But Joe belongs there. He was the best challenger to Brock Lesnar that they've had in a long time in terms of a good match.
Even apart from the actual holder of the title not being around, I mean, Joe needs a strong babyface to feud with, and who do they even have?
Right, because he's done Finn.
Yeah, and Finn, oh my God, Finn just got squashed by Kane, and then, you know, tombstone by Kane
weird,
again.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he is probably the big, is he not? I mean, other than The Shield, but The Shield, like we say, they're off, you know, doing Shield things right now.
Well.
Who else is a baby face?
I have? Will tell you, funny you should ask. Not a baby face, but maybe a tweener, or maybe turning baby face. One person Joe might match up well with is Braun Strowman, who somehow survived death by trash compactor to terrify The Miz. Here's
okay.
a clip.
Y'all don't see Danielle. Danielle's holding her face together.
Oh
right
my
now.
Goodness.
Why are we doing?
Cut off her mic.
Come on. Let's go. All right, leave me a truck. Go around it. Tell them to move. Tell them you have WWE superstars
on, man.
In your limo.
I love everything about a magic garbage angle. Everything.
Boy. He must have people in his family work in the transportation industry.
He's
always in and around.
How is the story not that Braun is a thief? He's constantly a thief and a kidnapper. First, he steals the ambulance, mm-hmm. and he has that guy driving him around for state to state for like a month. Now he done stole somebody's garbage truck, and he's got that man away from his family for a week.
But what is this thing with stealing people's cars? He was in a trash compactor. He got out of the trash compactor to go leave some garbage in the Miz's room.
Yeah.
Then got back in the trash compactor.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Is there a YouTube video of him planning the trash bag? You're like, hee hee.
Oh my God.
I'm going to put some
dry cups in here.
Now, how you know I would have already put that over if that existed. You already know I would have put it over. I love Braun, and I love that, yeah, he, it, like, what vehicle is next? Oh, what's he going to steal?
An helicopter. Shane. He's coming for Shane.
Man, we're going to go back, and we're going to find out. Either he's in charge of what happened to the helicopter, or he was the dude who blew up Vince's limo. Like, he went back in time.
Couldn't we also have him on a little tricycle?
Give me Braun a tricycle.
Remember the really, like, the super overweight cowboy twins who rode around on little mopeds?
I do.
Give him a little moped.
A little moped? And then he can steal somebody's moped from city to city?
Could you imagine? You hear the Braun, and then you hear...
Ooh, or like
up to the ring.
He could do one of them hostess trucks and get them fresh Twinkies.
I love it.
Where's Braun Strowman? Oh, good Lord. Well, speaking of things that are fun, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens continue to be adorable together. Here's a clip.
I am going to lead Team SmackDown to victory over Raw at Survivor Series, and then Shane McMahon will owe us. Then we get everything we've ever wanted. This is going to be our show.
That's perfect. This is going to become the Kevin and Sammy show.
This is going to become the Sammy and Kevin show.
Oh,
you know what?
Heart.
It already is.
It already
is. They're the best thing on the show. And it's a great... It makes you realize how deep SmackDown is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a deep show. It feels competitive. It feels like both shows have a lot going on. Since the brand split, there have been a lot of times where we go, SmackDown is clearly superior to Raw. Raw is clearly superior to SmackDown. Now it feels like both brands are heating up, putting on good shows.
Right.
They have interesting angles. I think Mahal is finding his stride as a heel.
I agree.
Like, it's all happening at a great time. Like, this is the best time of year to be a wrestling fan. From Survivor Series through WrestleMania, it is about five months of Christmas. It's so great.
Also, so you know when he left and they had Trips come in and twerk and all that stuff? Trips still paid Kevin for that show.
Wow.
Aww.
Yeah, man. I thought that was like a nice thing to mention.
He's got kids. And those zoo memberships are expensive.
Man, he must be a member at every zoo.
Yeah.
You know he got a brick with his name on it at every zoo across this country.
I bet he has a map of the world with all the zoos on it, and he marks off each one he's been to.
Oh, my God, with the red string.
Yeah. He's an enthusiast.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just trying to endear myself to Becky Lynch. Like, we'd be pals. I like dad jokes. Let's talk about things that are less fun but apparently very significant, like Kane coming in to completely dominate everyone he's in the ring with. So he's destroyed Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and even Daniel Bryan. It's like it's 1998 all over again. Does a dominant Kane, who no longer has pyro because they don't do pyro anymore.
Which is the weirdest thing.
Does this hold any interest for you as a fan? They're building him up. Why? For Braun?
His election? What is Glenn getting out of this?
To me, it's clearly for Braun. I mean, he came out talking about Braun. He threw Braun in a trash compactor. So I think that they're building him up as a monster heel for, like you said earlier, a face Braun to face. I think that's where things are headed. And I also feel like this is probably Kane's goodbye tour. I mean, this is probably his last.
Yeah, this might be the end of Libertarian Kane.
And this, I think this is the best use of a Kane that's probably on his way out, is to have him be a monster one last time.
And then have him put over Braun
exactly.
Even bigger.
I think it works great, you know, as long as it's temporary. And I think it has no choice but to be.
Yeah, no, because you can't go off and be mayor of whatever'sville and then also be a spooky demon on Monday night. Like, you can't do that.
It's not going to pull well, you know?
Let's talk about some quick shots from this week. What do you think about Asuka getting an honest-to-goodness squash match?
Good.
Well, you know what I was thinking about today? And this, I know this leads into what we're going to talk about later, but it's like, they knew they were going to get rid of Emma. Match really have to be competitive between Asuka and Emma if they knew they were letting Emma go in a week?
Maybe that was their goodbye, being like, we know we're going to let her go. Let's go ahead and let her have a good match on the way out the door.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
I didn't have a problem with it when I thought Emma was going to be around.
Yeah. But we're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that. What do you think about Ziggler losing that 2 out of 3 falls match to Bobby Roode? Is this really on the script? I'm sorry, Julian. I know you work hard to put it together, as we mentioned, but... First of all, I think both guys are immensely talented. I do not like Bobby Roode as a face. Mm. And I guess the story is Vince likes the entrance music. It's like, well, he's a babyface, pal. They sing along to the music. But he was a much more effective heel. I don't know what his character is outside of a guy who says glorious. I have no idea.
One positive I take away from this program is I do feel like Bobby Roode is increasing his charisma to match up with the song and the gimmick.
Agreed.
And so I agree. I still don't know who his character is. I think that has a lot to do with his look, though, because I think, like, the entrance and the robe is one thing, but when you take all that stuff off, he just looks like a regular dude. He looks like somebody's stepdad, like, you know, with the beard and the crew cut. You know what I mean? I think he has to do something a little bit more flamboyant with his skull somehow to, like, match up with that entrance and robes.
I kind of want him to go with the stepdad gimmick and have his finishing maneuver be, like, take you for ice cream and try too hard.
No, that's a submission.
Hey, I thought we could go to the arcade. Tap, 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 tap. All right.
I bought you an Xbox.
Let's play it together. I'm good at Halo. So Sin Cara's been getting an offense on Baron Corbin. Does this feel like an attempt to elevate him into the mid-card, or are they just serving him up to be a juicier win for Baron Corbin?
Looks credible to me. I like the mask thing. I like that they're letting him talk and be passionate, and it doesn't sound generic. It sounds unique to the character. So, you know, given some time on the mic, maybe he can become a little bit more of a stronger promo, get more comfortable, and, you know, maybe that can go somewhere. I mean, ultimately he's going to lose. Yeah,
he needs
something. For sure.
He is good and he's talented. I don't know which one we're on now. Which Sin Cara are we on?
We're on the second one still.
We're still on the second one?
On the second one.
If his thing is so generic, you can just, anybody can be Sin Cara. like, that's a problem. So, yeah, letting him talk more, letting him do more stuff, letting him be something other than just an empty suit with which you can put any luchador into is great.
By the way, anybody can be Sin Cara is a great catchphrase. Anybody can be Sin Cara.
Like, relatable, you know?
Yeah. Let me say it as Sin Cara.
Anybody can be Sin Cara.
Hey, cut some vents in that mask, everybody. Yeah, put some mesh on there.
We do need a little bit of a mouth, though, if it's going to cut promos.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a pop filter instead of, like, a layer of foam. What on earth? Like, don't gag. Is he gagged also under there? Or just lift it. Be like Spidey. Lift it
up.
No,
that's how it is. They take you out into the back alley. They beat you up. And when you wake up, you're Sin Cara now.
Or if you kill the previous Sin Cara, the Santa Claus kicks in, and then you become Sin Cara. That's Tim Allen under that mask, guys. We figured it out. Okay, finally. Plenty of costumes on Raw. In particular, we had Anderson and Gallows coming out as Chad Too Bad and Tex Ferguson from Southpaw Championship Wrestling.
Boy.
Only to lose to Beauty and the Man Beast. I'm going to say this. The match is being panned, and it sucks. It's there for laughs. It's not an Iron Man match, but I really loved Gallows wearing the pumpkin over his head and having it turned the wrong way when he heard the bell, thinking that they had won. That was fun.
How very Festus of him.
It was super Festus. But it was fun. Like, it's a fun little... That's like one of those little dumb details that shows, like, this guy puts thought into what he does, and he's talented.
You know what? We also got Alicia Fox as the captain.
Oh, yeah. She sounds so unhinged in all of her
promos. I love her.
I love her
so much.
I will say, having very briefly met her, she was very, very nice.
That's good.
Like, super nice person. So it's cool to see her on TV. Like, I'm saying that, like, you know, my good buddy Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox.
If you have any thoughts about this week in wrestling, let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, we'll take a look at WWE's recent firings. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Hey there, folks. I'm writer and performer Dave Holmes, and I host International Waters, where we pair a team of comedians in LA against a team of comedians in London in a pop culture trivia battle royale. Comedians like Elizabeth Lame.
Can I ask you, is that a chasm or a chasm that you just discovered between you and Joe?
Chasm.
A chasm. Okay.
Nobody says chasm.
Nice try. Do you say chasm? Were you trying to soft pitch your idea of saying chasm?
Well, I've just learned something again.
April Richardson.
In high school, I cut my hair really short.
Yeah.
But in between, I got a mullet as a joke. Like, I went to the place and I was like, okay, cut it all except the back and I'll have that for like a day. And then I started like getting my feelings hurt.
Yeah.
So people were like openly laughing at me.
And many more. Join us every other week on International Waters with me, Dave Holmes. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
Welcome back to Ties and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford
and
Mike Eagle.
Every so often, we like to give something from the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event. Only a select number of people become wrestlers in the WWE. Even fewer stay with the company for a lengthy career. Sometimes talent leaves on its own, but usually they're unceremoniously fired, and that's what happened this week. So Darren Young, Summer Rae, and Emma are all gone, for those of you keeping score at home. Two of them don't feel like as big a deal. That Darren Star, his big value for a while was the Be a Star campaign, was that he was like anti-bullying, and it almost felt like it was a notch in the belt to have him on the roster, and because they weren't using him.
Well, and they did try. They did try to have him come back with the Make It Darren Young Great Again thing, and then he got injured.
Yes.
And so he's been off. But it did seem like he wasn't on television very often, and he was mostly used to be like, you know, hey, it's okay to be different. Look at me. I'm different. Bullying sucks.
And yet they never used that as a – that was never his gimmick.
He was completely different
off camera than he was – off wrestling show camera than he was when he was on the public relations, you know, than when he was on it, rather.
There's no way I would have wanted them to touch that. I don't think that – I don't trust for that to have been handled sensitively.
I mean, you remember. I mean, they had done some press stuff saying that they were going to do some stuff with – some LGBTQ characters, and then they had that one guy get squashed by Braun Strowman. He said because he wanted like big sweaty men, or you know what I mean. They just they don't have any nuance or touch with that sort of thing. But I never saw the Be a Star stuff he was doing. Did he show a different kind of personality on those? He was just
very like motivational speaker. Like, hey guys, don't be a bully. I'm Darren Young. Obviously, you know, you can't go into the kids and be like millions of dollars. But even if you don't have millions of dollars, you can still be a star. Like whatever. Like obviously, he wasn't gonna do that.
Making moves. Everybody respect each other. Moves.
Oh, please keep that forever, Julian.
That's our first ringtone.
That's fantastic. I don't know. I mean, when they brought him back with Backlund, they had a unique opportunity to do something there. But then, you know, they have him with his managers trying to motivate him, and he just lost all the time. And they have a real problem with that. Like, they give people a fresh start, and then they start him off as jobbers.
And his entire thing is make me great again. It's like, we're waiting.
Yeah.
we sat here for weeks and we waited.
So Summer Rae was someone who got injured right before the brand split.
Wow. Well, and she was out for a while because she was working on
Marine 20.
Marine 15.
And
Marines go home or whatever.
She was one of those people who was like, she wasn't a terrible wrestler, but she never really was brought in a wrestler. She was there as a performer.
And a valet.
She was a valet,
for a while.
A manager. But even that,
she
never...
Well, she was great in NXT. In NXT, like, you have to remember, she is what got Sasha and Charlotte both over as heels.
Right.
Like, that does not work without Summer Rae. So we do have to give it up for her for that.
I just never saw any of that.
That never translated over to the main roster.
And it felt like they didn't have anything for her. They just haven't had anything for her. At a time when they could have continued to expand the women's roster. I mean, they had more women sort of in the offing, and she was one of them who could have been brought in a variety of capacities.
And she is good. Like, if you remember when she, when they were doing that Dolph, Rusev, Lana, Summer nonsense.
Yeah.
But she had a couple of chances where she wrestled, and it was like, oh, that's pretty.
She was a lingerie football player.
Look at that camel clutch or whatever. Yeah.
She's an athlete. Mm-hmm. I think there are people who are kind of third down running backs, where they're brought in situationally. They're not the everyday player. And she was one of those people. She was with Fandango for a while. That was sort of her big break-in. But then it was, we need somebody to, for this angle with Lana and Rusev. We'll put Summer Rae in there. We need somebody to accompany Breezango
because
for
she's great at
like
talking.
A month. Let's put her in there.
And she made the best of all those opportunities. And the baffling part to me about all of this is it doesn't seem like this is a good time for them to skim the women's roster, especially when we always talk about how there's only like four ladies in the division. I mean, if you have these other women around under contract, I don't understand why you don't do something with them.
I'm wondering if we're going to be getting a huge... They're preparing us for some more call-ups from NXT.
That would make sense.
And then having some of the Mae Young women who are primed to go in NXT to kind of take those slots. Like, I'm wondering if we might get an iconic duo.
That's terrible. I hope so.
Sometimes iconic? Iconic.
I know you've been waiting so long for an iconic duo.
But, you know, it does make me wonder if that's why, because they know that they're going to be bringing up some people from NXT soon.
Finally, Emma, super talented.
No, I don't know. They tried to separate her and Dana, which was dumb because Dana still needed her.
Yeah, they needed each other.
They needed each other.
Yeah, it's a shame. She could go. She had two good matches with Asuka. But it's also a good thing because she can go make money somewhere else.
She go make that money. She will get swooped up by someone.
Emma, it's just disappointing the word. She just seems to be so naturally fit for WWE. And she was a person who I felt like every twist and turn, she was just making it work. And, you know, we all know the fashion model, swimsuit model
Emelina
gimmick thing.
Yeah.
Didn't
well,
work
you can't
out.
You can't make an Eva Marie.
Right.
Like,
true.
You can't make an Eva Marie. Like, that was organic, and then they keep trying to make other people Eva Marie, and it's like, nah, you can't make someone with that nuclear heat. But, like, it's not going
to
happen.
So these firing reports seem to come out with more regularity and magnitude every year. Is that a sign that WWE's talent bed is so deep that they can't keep them all? Or are they just making bad decisions and not letting people be stars? I mean, we talk about that Raw has a weak mid-card, and SmackDown could have a deeper main event scene. However, there's a finite amount of time every week, and there are already enough people, even with these three people being cut, there were enough people who weren't getting enough camera time. So are they just big to have all of these people on a roster?
We have to remember that WWE is a product, and they are in the business of wrestling stuff that works. They are not in the business of helping people build their characters. That is your business. You do it and you bring it to us. And whatever the shiny thing is, that's what's going to get their attention. They're not invested in any of these people's careers in the same way that they are, because they don't have to be, because there will always be more. You almost have to look at it like, you know, well, why isn't MTV playing more of blah, blah, blah's music? And why isn't they, you know, why isn't this person, if you look at it that way, like, you know, it seems like they should be invested, but that's what NXT is for. You learn the thing, there's where they invest in you, and then after that, you're kind of on your own. So I think it's just a case of, look, if you got what it got and you're hitting, then we'll use you. If you're not seeing anything from you, we're going to go with the next guy. Shape up or ship out. I think that's how they see it.
That's such a disappointing philosophy, if true, and... I don't know, when you think back to the Attitude Era, and as much as Vince Russo is maligned, he wrote something for like everybody on that roster, right, up and yeah, down, and they all felt useful and they all had a storyline, even if it was horrible. Like, every segment seemed to have some stakes and have room for a character to try to get over. I think the problem now is if they're expecting people to come up and be fully formed and ready to get over, they're not necessarily writing opportunities for everybody to do that, you know?
Right, but now they're at a point where they can just take the next hottest guy from, you know, the indies. They can just get a Ricochet. They can just call, you know, bring Drew McIntyre and all these guys in and get them ready, because those people are people who made a name for themselves. It's almost like, it's something we talk about a lot in comedy, where it used to be this thing of, you go on the road, you do a bunch of shows, you get JFL, someone scoops you up and the industry makes you. And that's not how it works anymore. Like, right, if you want to be a writer, people want to see that you've already done stuff on your own, because social media exists, because we all have cameras in our pockets. They want you to go out and create and prove that you can do the thing, and then they'll give you money to do the thing that you've already been doing. And I think that's maybe how they're looking at it with these wrestlers. It's like, well, you know, if you go out there, go into the world, become big on the indies, and then we'll bring you back when you've done all the work.
And there are plenty of cases of people coming back and being successful after being cut. Drew McIntyre is now NXT champion. Jinder Mahal is now the WWE champion. Of these three, who has the best shot at coming back and being successful? Who do you think will be back first?
Emma.
Yeah, I guess it would be Emma. My problem or my difficulty with answering that question is I can't really see any of three of these really on the indies. And I know they'll probably all go. I just, the indies I know, the PWG, the Wrestle Circus, the Evolve, like, these don't seem to me to be like the people, and I don't know this about any of them, but the people who grew up their whole lives wanting to wrestle would have did it anyway if there was never a WWE. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the environment on the indies now.
Right.
And I wonder, you know, if this is going to be a good fit for any of them and if any of them will get a chance to flourish. If they do, that's great. And hopefully they do get to show, like Daniel says, like, you know, different parts of the personalities and get over and bring something back to the table. I look at the WWE product right now and I don't see people getting a lot of those opportunities. I mean, because you can take Kenny Omega came in right now, and if only thing they ever wrote for Kenny Omega was to, like, you know, wear a pumpkin backwards on his head, you know what I mean? Then, like, he doesn't get the chance to get over,
right?
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's really missing right now. If they're going to cut people, I would love for them to get, like, a shot to do something and, you know, and not to get brought back in with Bob Backlund and make him great again and then he loses. Like, I don't understand what he can do with that, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, I do. Summer Rae has been doing a bunch of writing. Mm-hmm. I think that she had in one of the lady magazines, she wrote something about, like, self-esteem or self-confidence or whatever. I'm sure she's also working it so she can be an influencer,
sure,
which is a real career that you can really make money in. Yo, she'll be selling them teeth whiteners and protein packs for as long as she keeps it tight. And Darren Young, I think he will still do well on the motivational speaker tour. Emma is the only one that I expect will show up somewhere. And I hate to say that part of it is because, like, she doesn't really have anything else. But, and that might speak to how much she dedicated herself to wrestling. Like, you know, I don't see her being an influencer. I don't see her being a motivational speaker. She had her cooking show, which is cool, but that's still going to be a hobby. You know, make money from making healthy, you know, strawberry cheesecakes. but maybe she could. Maybe she could go off and do fitnessy model stuff. But I feel like she'll be the one that we wind up seeing, you know, in somebody shimmer or, you know, I think that she could do great in Shikara.
You know, when you've just been working and at the scale that she's been working at and as hard as she was doing it, that's gonna be a tough transition into those, you know, VFWs.
I agree.
You know what I mean? That's gonna be a tough switch up.
Well, if you've got any thoughts on the recent releases and wrestlers that you can think of that you wish had never been fired, let us know at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, it's time for three things we love from wrestling. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but it's an actual conversation, and, you know, sometimes it gets real.
No, but my mother, I remember when I got, this is going to become a therapy session very quickly.
Does that make sense? I feel like I'm in therapy.
That was a great interview.
Bullseye. Creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Daniel Radford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week we have the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the Three Count. I'll stop. Danielle, you're up first.
The worst person I've ever met.
Who do you want to put over? Wrestling. Podcast.
I'm dead. I'm deceased. So I am putting over, as we all know, there are many John Cenas. I don't know which John Cena this is, but apparently one of them felt like he don't have the time for nothing. He can't show up for none of Nikki's family stuff. He barely shows up for tapings. He doesn't have time for anything, but he had time to make a moody, black and white ass video of him playing Pixies on piano. And that's what I'm putting over because he's a crazy person. And every time we learn something about him, it's like weirder and weirder. I'm telling you, one of these days, we gonna find out. He's gonna be like, "Oh yeah, this is my theremin. I make them." So anyway, here's a clip
this
of that.
This is my horse head collection.
Moody P.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's just, it's black and white, and he's just moodily playing. Like, what the fuck?
Project Mayhem just blew up the...
For sure he's masturbated to this video already, right?
Yeah, so that's... I don't even know what to say. I don't even know. He's such a weird dude. But I love it. Like, do you think that, like, sometimes he's like, "Nicole, you're going to put on your dress, and after we have dinner, I'm going to play the piano for you, and you're going to lay on the piano. And then after we're done, the men will go into the men's room and smoke cigars, and the women will go into the women's room."
When prompted, you will slowly dance in a circle.
Nicole, you were probably expecting this to be a pretty woman situation with the piano, but it won't be. I just want you to hear how good I am at this, and then I'm going to go smoke cigars and ask other people about their lives and dispense great advice.
Nicole, I just had the piano cleaned. Please, I know that you're not going to want to wear panties.
Put on your hazmat suit and get onto the piano, Nicole.
And now I have to go listen to human beings to see how they talk.
Nicole, I'm going to play the piano and then report back to the mothership.
So weird. I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
God. Mike? What are you over?
Well, there's a certain cruiserweight. Goes by the name Drew Gulak, who, when I first was introduced to him via the Cruiserweight Classic, he wrestled mostly like kind of Zack Sabre Jr., really acquired kind of taste, mm-hmm. very not WWE style. When I found out he was even getting signed to WWE, I was like, "Oh, this is interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this translates." And for a long time, it did not. So they've had him do a lot of stuff. Talking on the microphone, he was one of the earliest guys in 205 Live to really be against flippy stuff.
So good.
No fly zone.
And, you know, he had him wrestling and you know, would look like Tidy Whitey's without wristbands for a while. He was very naked looking. It was really a lot. They've given the man a t-shirt. And they've given him this gimmick where he's speaking alongside Enzo Amore. And I really think he's starting to find a stride as a talker, as evidenced by his work in this promo on Monday Night Raw, which we wanted to put over this week.
Knock, knock, who's here? Incompetento. Because if you're talking incompetent, you're talking.
Are you having a stroke? What are you doing?
This title back. Ain't that right? Gabu Goulet.
Yeah, man, that's right.
Yeah, man, that's right.
Kalisto, so there is only one word to describe you, and I am going to spell it out for you. S-O-F-T.
Oh, I'm here for it.
His little arm gestures, he did the something.
Oh, my God. So I'm here for that. Hopefully they give him more opportunities to do stuff, because if he can get his personality over, I think he'll be a big success.
Does anybody remember where Drew Gulak is from?
Philly.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. He's from Philadelphia, where the greatest things on earth come from, including people who can't speak that have a microphone.
On Tides and Vines.
Really? Is that where you're from?
Yes.
Oh.
Northeast Philadelphia, born and raised. Castor and Cotton.
I want to put over Sami Zayn. He was a guest on Edge and Christian, where he talked about his heel turn and his career. And it's fun to listen to three affable Canadians be really nice, but also rib each other and talk about wrestling. Mm. But I really liked Sammy is one of those guys, and you can hear this whenever Kevin Owens talks about him, who's very cerebral and is always thinking about the business and has strong opinions. So this is him talking about his discovery of what it means to have a great match.
I was talking to Finn one time, and I go, "You know what? What's a great match? Who's to say?" Because I've seen "quote unquote" great matches that I thought were terrible. But if the crowd is going crazy, does that make it a great match? What's the barometer for a great match? And I remember one thing he said was, "He's like, well, a great match stands the test of time. That's one of the true marks of a great match." And it's the truth when you watch like Shawn and Bret you know, the Iron Man match, or Shawn or Bret and, you know, Stone Cold at WrestleMania, or all these matches that we view timeless, you watch them now, they hold up. Mm-hmm. You know, my matches from 04, breaking into the States, which I thought were great at the time, you watch them now, they're probably atrocious, but that's the difference.
There's tons of great stuff. Like, I had trouble picking out what I wanted to put over from this interview, but keep listening. It gets even better from there. That is Edge and Christian's Pod of Awesomeness.
Yes.
So good. So, and no Stone Cold impersonator this year.
What?
Or this week. Doing
Let's go.
I wish there had been.
But we just did it.
We did it. It's here.
We did it.
Well, that does it for Tights and Vines. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Mike Eagle.
What is this voice?
This is the Halloween edition.
Daniel Radford, along with me, Halloween Loveland.
I have a live show this Sunday at 7 p.m. downtown at the Moroccan. It is We Got This Live, along with Can I Pet Your Dog? That is two Max Fun podcasts. For the price of one, you can get tickets to the door, or you can go to halloublin.com/live to get a $5 discount on those tickets. Our guest will be Janet Varney. We're going to be picking the best Disney villain of all time.
Nice.
That is a lot of fun. Danielle, you have a show this weekend.
This show is stupid, and I still kind of can't believe that I'm on this. So this freaking circus ladies group is doing a fundraiser for Swing Left to flip the house, and their tickets are on sale. It's Saturday. Saturday.
Saturday?
There's comedy. By Morgan Murphy, Solomon Giorgio, Jamie Lee, Andy Kindler, Nick Thune, and me. There is wrestling by JTG, Super Panda, Luchasaurus, Ryan Nemeth, a.k.a. Briley, Briley Pierce, a.k.a. Hot Young Briley, a.k.a. my personal trainer. The tickets are like, if you get them ahead of time, I think they're like $35, but there's an open bar all night.
Where is this? Like,
it is thank you. That actually is good information for me to tell people, although I will be retweeting it everywhere. It is happening at Pollution Studios.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. I can't believe I'm on the show. I'm going to have the best time telling these jokes and watching that wrestling.
Nice.
All right. Mike, you're here this weekend.
I'm staying my ass home. So, yeah, I got nothing to put over on that tip, but buy my album again.
Yeah, listen to that. It's so good. I keep like telling people. I mean, I've been sharing it on social media, but I've also been one-on-one recruiting people to listen, including like my wife and I had a really long drive and I was playing it for her. She's like, this is great.
Hey.
It's really, not that she was surprised that it would be great, but like
family
she loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you real over in the Loveland house.
Oh, yeah. It's over like Rover in the Loveland household, for sure.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, and also, you did the Halloween edition of Deadass, and
I
folks
did.
Should watch
that. Yeah, watch Deadass! Oh, my God, what am I thinking?
Please, like, what are you? I got it.
Thank you.
Watch Deadass, because Deadass is super fun.
17 minutes is Halloween edition, though, so strap in. Get ready to chuckle.
It's real good. I watched it while I was putting on my makeup.
All right. Thank you, Danielle.
There you have it. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you to all of the Max Fun members who've chosen to donate to this show and keep the lights on when we're here in the studio. And we'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Vines Podcast. Tights and Vines.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.